You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
No need to BYOE this week. Energy's already here. So are the threes. Jackson Brown, how you doing, brother?
Man, I'm juiced up. It's that time. Let's get after it.
Trev, I know where you're at.
Everybody knows how I feel about this game. It's no secret. Obviously, both very close ties to both programs. It runs deep. It runs all the way back to my childhood. And let's get into it.
Let's hit the news. I will be attending the ribbon cutting ceremony on the indoor practice facility this afternoon, apparently in freezing rain. I even texted our beloved sports information director and asked him if there are any weather related changes being made. And he replied with a simple no. So prayers to me, prayers to the rest of us. Going up in whatever is going on in the Fargo climate right now to cut the ribbon on that bad boy. And here's what is just spectacular news. And that is that we have hit standing room only in the dome. And my hat is off to you, Bison Nation. This new board has so many fun things that we can do.
It works wonders. I'm loving it.
It's so exciting to me. Cause I think of some of these, games from times past, and from where I sit or where I have sat, and oddly enough, kind of the evolution of my fandom, if you will, or the evolution of my relationship with North Dakota State football. As crazy as it is, my seat in the press box where I sit next to Zach and next to the Bison 1660 guys, et cetera, I can see the top of my parents' heads. I could hit them if I was accurate enough with, one of our catering sandwiches. So my perspective of the game has always been about the 35-yard line on the opposite side of the students. It's where I've always seen. There's nothing cooler than all 18,800 seats, as the GOAT Jim Ross would say. That's a wrestling announcer for those of you that don't partake, which is fine. But as the GOAT Jim Ross would say, there's an ass every 18 inches. And that is so cool to see in the Fargo Dome. And it's even cooler when it's also like two or three rows deep of people standing room in the corner, making it loud. It has an effect on the game. And that's where we're going to get into kind of our preview here. And I want to take it from your guys' perspective, because obviously I've never been on the field in a playing capacity at the Dome at any level and don't have any idea, but you guys have played in those 19-2, 19-3, 19-4 over capacity games where you are getting the live shot of the decibel meter, et cetera. Trev, certainly your times against Georgia Southern, your times in the playoffs, what effect can the crowd have on a football game?
It changes the game tremendously. I mean, you talk about false start penalties and that sort of factor. That's all anyone really stops the conversation at. But I don't know if people actually understand how much that actually affects a football game. when you back up a team and put them in second and long or third and long or third and forever, the odds are against you to convert and therefore go score points. Like, it is critical to a football game. And we have seen that throughout this season, unfortunately, of NDSU shooting themselves in the foot with penalties. Those are the type of things that can affect a rivalry game, and even more so a game where you have two of the highest quality programs in FCS football, or really at any level of football, but obviously we're FCS, but be loud, be proud. And I am just very grateful, I'll put it that way, that this game is being played in Fargo.
JB, you've always been an energy guy. Like, that was your role. You know, go pop somebody on special teams and get the crap juiced up. What using the word juice or that concept, like, what can a crowd that is excited do for a team that has maybe struggled a little bit to get out of the blocks? If the crowd brings the energy, how can that actually affect the football team outside of false starts, struggles in communication, the actual like X's and O's things that Trev was talking about?
Yeah. You know, you said, you called it the juice, and that's a great term for it. It's like it's a drug. You know, that energy is palpable, and I wish we could bottle it up and use it for every single game of the year, but that's just not always the case. But in a game like this, you can feel it. You know, you're seeing fans filling up the stands in warmups, which is just something you don't see a lot of. And the place is getting packed before you even get out there. And, you know, I just remember always wanting to kick the ball. I always wanted to kick the ball right away so I could go down on kickoff, because it literally feels like a drug. You know, there's got to be some sort of science behind it, because there's just absolutely no fear. The adrenaline is high. The energy is great. And it's just something that, like I said earlier, I wish we could just bottle it up.
First sellout in a really, really long time. You know, they've been doing well. I think this home slate has helped. I think the attention to detail from the administration, doing that survey, making the changes. Obviously, the most notable one is the alcohol availability. But beyond that, improving the game day atmosphere and really taking people seriously, and not just, you know, as we mentioned in the preseason, they could easily say, we've won 9 of the last 11 national championships. You come here, we win. What more do you want than an excellent football product on the field, which is what we are delivering to you? And the people wanted more, and they did not just throw up their hands. They actually did it. Now, are there some things that can improve? Most notably, people complain about Wi-Fi. I actually agree. I think that in 2022, you should have functioning Wi-Fi in a football stadium, especially. And people think, well, how does it distract you from the game? A lot of folks, Trevor and I understand this very clearly, bringing young kids to the game, that Wi-Fi can save your life. It can keep you there for four quarters in a situation where you may otherwise have to leave. It's a big deal. And it's not just connectivity for the kids. You know, folks want to check scores of other games. Folks want to maybe stream an FBS game during time stoppages or during halftime or whatever the case may be. It is an important one. But, boy, that is a side tangent. And I guess that'll bring us to our next portion, which is just, please, you know, for the atmosphere of this game, buy those standing room only tickets. If you're thinking about going to the game, be a part of this. This is something that we haven't really seen in like 3 years, honestly. This is something that, you know, post COVID, post 2021, we haven't seen a truly packed dome with a playoff game atmosphere, with a 1-2 atmosphere, be screaming from row double F, be screaming from the corners, be screaming behind SDSU's sideline. Make this an unbelievable environment. It's more fun for us to cover. And honestly, as these guys have mentioned, it can literally help the football team win. Trev, have you got any request to the people or to the players, or do you have really anything to say to anybody here?
I mean, these type of games, it's no secret with all the hype surrounding it. It's obviously very fun. It's a very cool thing to have in the Dakotas. It wasn't anticipated when the jump was made to Division I, so that in itself is awesome. Go and relish it and enjoy these opportunities, because we don't know when these things are going to come up again, if ever. You know, so just – Don't take it for granted, I would say. And then the other thing is, you don't know what type of memories or what type of instances can come from these program changing type games. These are the part of the program stories And for myself, the Georgia Southern Loud game, obviously that ended up becoming more than just a lifelong memory for me. It became quite literally my life, because that's how my spouse and now kids were brought into my life. So not to say that that's going to happen on Saturday. We're going to have a story like that, but those are the type of memories that can be made from a beautiful thing. So get out, enjoy it, be loud, have fun, and just enjoy every aspect of it that you possibly can.
JB, your thoughts, your message to the people ahead of our preview here.
Yeah. You know, these games are some of the most memorable, or, you know, the most memorable of my career. And I know a lot of the guys, you know, who've played for us have said the same thing and will say the same thing as we continue to go. So, you know, like Trev said, just don't take it for granted. These games are, they mean so much to every single one of these guys on the roster. And, you know, as we alluded to earlier, every single, you know, decibel matters in this game, and, you know, it can really change the outcome of everything for us. So, drink the Fargo Dome, you know, clear of beer, and get loud.
Absolutely. As we mentioned at the top of the show, this broadcast is brought to you by the good folks at Gateway Chevrolet. Gateway Chevrolet is your truck headquarters. Right now, you can buy a new Chevy truck at invoice pricing. That's right, invoice pricing. They've got active fuel management. They have four different motors to choose from. And folks, they are clean with that brand new interior, that large touchscreen, your infotainment center. Go see the good people on the I-29 frontage road in Fargo, or go visit them at gatewayfargo.com. Okay, so one of the biggest issues, and by the way, we don't plug those guys enough. They are doing such an unbelievable job on the bench warmers.
Quinn, they really are. I mean, we make fun of them for their ad reads, but they're so good. They're so bad.
You're not the one paying for
like,
the ad.
You're like, this is, it's entertainment. Like, it is pure entertainment. And especially when you get to know their personalities, if you don't follow those guys on Twitter, I would highly recommend it. It's just any sports fan, I think, would enjoy it. Obviously centered around NDSU and their experience there, but it is amazing. I mean, the bench warmer guys have done a phenomenal job.
They got – go ahead.
I got to interject. It's just, you know, this is the type of thing that brings fans who maybe aren't as, you know acquainted with what goes on in the locker room. This just brings you in even closer, man. These stories are stuff that I live for, and it really makes my week listening to those guys. So
that thing doesn't come out at 9 a.m. on Wednesday morning. Trevor's just badgering me until it hits the podcast feed.
I'm sending memes like, what's the deal? I'm like,
wow. The reason it didn't come out this week is A, I was busy, and B, I had to check for censorship. We had to actually drop a bleep in this bad boy because they brought Ty Brooks in.
Well, listen, the fact that Ty Brooks came in, I love Ty, man. I remember watching Ty in high school at the Fargo Dome. We'd get on with the practice, and Fargo South, I feel like, was winning everything under the sun. So I got to watch him play. So it's been fun to watch him grow as a young man, but the fact that they only had one bleep in there is, you know what, kudos to Ty for being –
yeah, we're gonna do a Patreon version where you can say whatever you want, but then I'd still get canceled.
I don't know if we want that.
Yeah, I don't know if we can allow that. We might need to veto that. But Ty, we love you. Phenomenal job. Quinn and Zach, you know, just keep up the good work, guys. It's fun.
And here's the point that I was making, because Ty brought it up, and it is really I've the little brother syndrome. There's so many reasons why, someone might not like South Dakota State if you're a North Dakota State fan. But the number one thing for me on the football side is Stig. And he drives me so nuts. He is the most fake nice person you'll ever see. And Ty kind of bringing that to light, is really the epitome. And I get it. And that's, like, I get the whole holy nutmeg shtick and all that, but I don't need to get into, you know, his legal issues. I don't need to get into any of that. But, like, you want to be an ass, but at least do it, in a real way. Like people understand, and I've, you know, to call my relationship with Coach Entz up and down would be accurate. I mean, I've been on his nerves. He's been on, you know, in my DMs about stuff, and he's also been very complimentary of our work at times here. But the one thing that I appreciate about Coach is he's Coach. He's Coach at the press conference. He's Coach when he's giving you crap down, you know, where we do interviews by the team room. He's Coach when you see him at the golf course. He's Coach when you see him on the sidelines. He's Coach. There's nothing fake about Coach Entz. And that fakeness, if you will, is what just drives me nuts about Stig. Is he's not a nice guy, but he is the fake nicest aw shucks some gun you ever met in your whole life. Trev, do you have any thoughts on this issue?
I have a lot of thoughts on it, just from my experience. And I'm not going to state why what I heard through the grapevine of why I was not offered a scholarship at South Dakota State. I haven't made that public. I've told a lot of people. And I the reasoning behind it is in what the perception is of Coach Stuggemeyer. It's just it's that part to me is what doesn't sit well. I think people just want consistency. It is what it is. I mean, I don't think he's got bad intentions by any means. I think he truly tries to do the right thing a lot of times, but then on the other side, he will treat people a certain way, say certain things at certain times that just cut a different way that you're like, so who really are you? And when you have that wishy-washiness, that just can rub people the wrong way very, very quickly. And that has certainly been my personal experience from being recruited by them and him in particular, as well as conversations I've had. Nothing's gone like really wrong, but conversations I've also had with him in my post-playing career. So it's just interesting. It is what it is. But it is certainly a common conversation between folks in terms of like the personality over there.
Well, and the issues, you know, like Brooks had with it is, you know, you've got the, what seems to be kind of consistently putting potentially concussed players back into games. And like Brooks said, they have consistent issues with dirty play, whether it's the high-low on Levon Perry or the alligator roll on Bruce Anderson's ankle. He said that there's always something going on under the pile. And that's a come from the top thing. That, like, right. That what is the movie, Remember the Titans, attitude reflect leadership.
Yep, that's the best way to encompass it. I mean,
attitude reflect leadership, Captain,
especially when it's consistent. Like, it's not like a one-off thing where you're like, hey, that guy just kind of went rogue, you know, as the NBA tried to pin Tim Donahue with the whole like basketball gambling situation. They were like, it's just one rogue ref. Like,
probably not.
On the field, that's not the case all the time. Like, we're not accusing of every player being like that. That's not by any means the case, but they just don't police it. They say one thing and do another. And that's the part that I think is where the animosity part of it comes from. You can't say one thing and do another and then try to backpedal.
JB, what's your feeling towards this? Like, you're not necessarily even just with Stig, but like, did you feel that way? Did you feel like there was always extracurricular stuff with them?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, Trev said it the right way too. He rubbed you the wrong way, whatever the case may be, but two, he like, it rubs off on his players a little bit. And there's certain things that I'm attributing, you know, that I've heard from their players over the year, you know, trash talking, whatever the case may be. And I'm like, that's got to be like a cultural thing that's coming from, like you said, it's coming from the top. So he rubbed you the wrong way, you know, whether it's post game press conferences, making excuses, just all those little things, they add up. You know, I'll be nice about it too, but within my own recruitment, they were my first offer. And, you know, I really appreciated that and respected the hell out of them for that. And it made a big difference for me. But after that, you know, the relationship with Stig and with some of the coaching staff there is pretty much non-existent. So again, it's just another thing that rubs you the wrong way. And, you know, it all starts with relationships. And obviously we don't have a great one with him. So
something I do want to point out too, is that in 2012, before we played them in the playoffs, I don't remember who released it. I can't remember. I don't think it was one of their official accounts. I don't want to go ahead and say that. it might have been a coach. It might have been a player. I think that would be my best guess. They hung an NDSU Bison football helmet from the rafters of their locker room. If that tells you anything. So,
yeah. And just throw that in there. Like Zach Willis has mentioned his recruiting visit down there and them having beat the Bison like on the walls. Not everywhere, but like you just wouldn't, you know, that's the difference. Nameless, faceless opponent as opposed to beat this one school. Anyway, getting a little bit down the rabbit hole. So I want to actually talk ball for just a second. Just a second on this potentially hour-long podcast. I want to talk a little ball. Yeah. So my thing is, and I think, let me look real quick. This is great radio. I'm going to go back to the line because it started at NDSU. And, okay, it's still a pick. So it had opened on five dimes as a NDSU minus 3.5, which is more than even the home three. So there was some heavy South Dakota State money on five dimes, and the line has moved to a pick, which it means that a neutral field that South Dakota State would be favored, and they'd be favored by about six at home. They've won twice in a row. They being South Dakota State, they won twice in a row. They are undefeated in the FCS, same as North Dakota State is undefeated in the FCS. But here's where I struggle. I struggle with Coach Entz, and I get it, man. Like, I get it 100%. Make yourselves into the underdog, fight uphill, tell, you know, piss your guys off, whatever you got to do. I have no problems with any of that. Coach Entz, something he said, and something that's being parroted throughout the Fargo media, throughout the FCS media, et cetera, is this idea that North Dakota State's resume is weaker than South Dakota State's. I would like to know, sincerely, what performance by these Rabbits am I supposed to be impressed by? Why am I supposed to think that these guys are the best team in the country? And no, NDSU's resume, if you will, is not spotless by any stretch. It's not. You shouldn't lose to Arizona, frankly, even in their house. And the performance against Indiana State was not awe inspiring either. But what am I? Okay, so I'm supposed to look at what's supposed to throw me off here. Is it the scoring negative 1 points in Iowa? That Iowa team stinks out loud. They're bad. They're not good. They're losing every game in the Big Ten. And I get that they're good defensively, and that's an FBS loss, and NDSU lost their FBS game. But I'm still not going to come away from the Rabbits scoring negative 1 points on offense, getting two safeties and kicking one field goal as something I'm going to be impressed by. Okay, am I supposed to be impressed by 24-22 over UC Davis at home? Uh-uh. Butler, throw it out. I don't care. You win at Missouri State. Missouri State stinks. They're bad, period. You beat Western Illinois 34-10, and you beat USD at home 28-3. That, to me, the 28-3 against USD at home is the most impressive thing they've done all season. And, yes, NDSU only beat them by 17. That's great. Whatever. We can have the apples and oranges conversation. First of all, that game was in Vermilion. This game was in Brookings. But my point is, this quote-unquote resume that I'm being handed, that the Rabbits have put on film, and let me preface this by saying they absolutely could win on Saturday. I think it's a coin flip. But why am I supposed to look at what they have done and view it as this masterful resume that dwarfs NDSU's, that where they should be this big favorite?
Well, what do you mean, Ross? You know, they almost beat a Big Ten team who averages like 1.6 points a game. So no, I don't know. I don't know what we're supposed to look at, but at the same time, being in the position we were in, we being me and Trev, it's like you kind of want it. You kind of want them to have this hype coming in. You want their esteem to be up a little bit, and you want this game to mean every single bit more that it can. So, you know, honestly, I welcome the talk that that they're hyped up. Maybe more than their resume stands for. So we'll see. I think this game's obviously just going to be the telling tale. So,
Trev, what? You have any thoughts on this as far as like
what they? Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think, well, for starters, I don't think either team has lived up to their potential, preseason potential. And I don't think either team is even close, to be honest with you. Neither team is like fully healthy. I mean, Tucker Kraft hasn't played most of the season. NDSU has obviously had their fair share of injuries, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So I think there's a large gap to fill there in terms of potential for starters. But blind resume, I think they're very comparable. You know, you had two, for lack of a better term, lackluster opponents within there. You both had a Power Five loss. You do have a common opponent. SDSU probably put up a better game against South Dakota than NDSU did for four quarters, if you want to look at in terms of that. But I don't care if one team is 2-3, another team is 6-0. It's the marker. It's a rivalry game. It's just like Alabama Auburn. You're going to have to come to fight or you will lose the game. So all of that is fine and dandy. But at the end of the day, when you have games like this, you better be ready for a dogfight.
And that's my thing, is the game is just the game. This idea that South Dakota State is this heavy favorite and they've played amazing and that NDSU is trash, I think that's more of a we don't watch any other games but NDSU issue. And because this NDSU team has been disappointing in spots, because this NDSU team hasn't looked as clean as NDSU teams of the past, then South Dakota State should be this heavy favorite. It's like, go watch them struggle. Go watch them beat UC freaking Davis 24-22 on their home turf. Go watch them, I mean, really put away Missouri State late, who stinks. We found out Missouri State stinks. I don't know what the issue is down there. I haven't paid attention to Missouri State because they're not on NDSU's schedule this season. But I don't know. I think, again, I've called this as kind of a coin flip. And the reason I think it's more of a coin flip is because you're in a situation where Mark Gronowski in the spring season that doesn't count was the MVFC offensive player of the year. Good quarterback, good young player, but he's not having quite the season that he was having in the spring. We mentioned, you know, I went on Pro Football Focus College's product and ranked the quarterbacks in the Valley by overall offensive grade. I think he was fifth, and I ranked him by passing grade only. He was seventh. Cam was number two in both spots, and I'm not here to have a is Cam Miller better than Mark Gronowski debate with two Bison guys. That's not going to accomplish anything. But the raw numbers aren't as good either. I mean, he's below 60% completion, and he is down from 7 yards a carry to 2.3 yards a carry after that knee injury. But Trev, I think, no, JB, I'm trying to get my errors correct. I think it was you. Could this be a trap? Could they be walking into the Taryn Christian, we don't run this quarterback, oh, actually, we do run this quarterback trap?
I don't know. It's tough to tell. You never really know what they're going to come out with.
You, right? Your squad?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to come out with. And frankly, I don't know that anyone does. They always seem to just throw some oddball stuff at us right away in games and kind of maneuver the rest of their game plan off that. So, we'll see, but, you know, based off the paperwork and off the stats, you know, you'd think it's an opportunity for an incredibly deep secondary like we have to just have a field day. And I really hope that's what it comes down to, because I think they will. And then I think they, you know, get forced to run the ball, with which they've been struggling with all year. And it's just going to be a time to answer the bell for the boys on defense. So.
Trev, as far as you're concerned, are you concerned about the trap aspect of him maybe not running the ball, or could this, you know, very, very simply be a post ACL type situation?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I think to date, it's more indicative of trying to protect the player, which is very different than how we started this pod, I guess. But yeah, I think part of it is because of him tearing his ACL and trying to protect that a little bit. Now, do they unleash the dogs in this game? Because Gronowski is a really good athlete, and I do think he's a phenomenal football player. I would have to imagine they probably have a little bit more QB draws dialed up coming into this game, you know. But I think, again, that's going to be more dictated by how his knee has felt overall. So are they looking at a game where they're trying to, you know, do a classic Taryn Christian and just unleash him in this game in a different package and run him in and utilize him in a different way? Don't know. Or are they trying to save that for the playoffs and trying to keep his knee progressing forward in terms of health-wise? So I don't really know. I'll be kind of curious to see myself, but regardless, I think NDSU does need to be prepared for it, because Gronowski is extremely, extremely athletic. He's a good football player. So you just got to make sure you have every single aspect of the game that they could throw at you prepared for.
Yeah, he look, don't get us wrong. He's a good football player. He just hasn't quite looked exactly the way he looked in the spring of 2020. Isaiah Davis was, you know, someone in that 17-27 loss in April, the last time that they played in Fargo, obviously the last time that North Dakota State dropped a game to these guys in Fargo. Isaiah Davis was a big damn deal. Everyone, honestly, running the ball for South Dakota State was a big damn deal. Gronowski, 146 on the ground. Pierre Strong Jr., 100. But Isaiah Davis was really the bell cow back with 16 carries and 84 yards. JB, they're an interesting matchup as far as Davis is concerned, just because I think he – and I'm going to just go ahead and say this right now. We had an issue yesterday. I had Nick Gazer. I had about 14, 15 minutes, really good conversation with Nick Gazer leading into this for the Bias Report show. We had a little computer update situation here in the Bias Report studios. We lost that interview. That thing's gone forever. That's not going to show up on Bias Report show brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet. That's not good. That thing is just very good content that is gone forever. So we're going to go interviewless tomorrow on the Bias Report show, which is just fine. We'll be all right. But Goose was talking about the fact that, you know, Pierre Strong would love to run outside zone, turn the corner, hit you for 80 yards. Good night. Isaiah Davis would like to cut that back in about the C gap, square up a linebacker and run his ass over. And those are two different styles of running back. And one, when you are playing James Kaiser, 58 snaps at 208 pounds at linebacker, and you're playing, you know, whether it's Julian or Oscar, that is an interesting matchup issue.
Yeah, I've absolutely loved watching Davis. He's been fun to watch. And, you know, honestly, this year it's been a little, lackluster in terms of, his role in the offensive production and whatnot. But I think it just goes to show, like, you never know when a guy like this is going to pop. And I just think it really depends on the trench battles up front. That's what it's going to come down to this week. But a guy like that, he's a rolling ball of knives, and you just never know when he's going to break some tackles and take one long. So.
Yeah, he's an impressive back, and he makes a lot of what they do work. And that was something that, you know, would concern me coming into the season. And I think a big reason why their offense isn't as efficient as you might think is outside of guard Mason McCormick, they're not great on the offensive line. I think they graduated either three or four starters, but had some guys that were, you know, key contributors or rotation guys step into starting roles. But they have not been great on the offensive line. It's been a lot of, obviously, the Yonke twins making big plays, Hines at tight end filling in for Tucker Kraft, although Hines is a borderline NFL guy himself. He's a really impressive player. And then Gronowski and ultimately Isaiah Davis doing a good job. One thing that, people ask about the matchup, and obviously it's not the Bison offense against the Jackrabbit offense, but you look at South Dakota State and you look at their individual statistics, and there really is a massive gap. They do not have the depth at tailback that NDSU has. It's not even close. You have 642 yards right now from Isaiah Davis, and the next closest guy is Amar Johnson with 188. And after that, it really drops off a cliff. If you can key Davis, they don't. If you shut down Dom Ganella, you've got five other backs to worry about at North Dakota State. You shut down Isaiah Davis, you're going to win the game at NDSU, unless something in the back end goes really, really haywire. And that's not to necessarily criticize their roster. It's just they do not have six backs the way that North Dakota State has six backs. It's just a very different situation this year. Folks, if you are in the insurance market, and basically if you drive a car or have a place to live, you should be checking out the guys over at Tundra Insurance on the main drag in Horace, specifically former Bison football player Quinn Allo. Quinn does a fantastic job. And folks, the deal really is, if you are doing business right now with an insurance company where their name is on the door when you pull up and they sell the one product, and that person is the only person you talk to, and they offer you one thing, you've either got to take them at their word that it is the best option coverage-wise, price-wise for your family, or you've got to go visit 5, 6, 7, 8 versions of that person and do the shopping yourself. Don't do that. Quinn has 20 different carriers that he works with every single day, has absolutely no problem at all doing your shopping for you and finding the best rate for your family, your life insurance, your commercial insurance. If you are a business owner, call Quinn at 701-969-1661. Check Tundra Insurance out on Facebook or go right to tundrainsurance.com. And there's a form right there that you can fill out and provide information to get a free quote literally any time of the day. Tundra Insurance in Horace, North Dakota. Winkelman, Sanders, and Bach are absolute studs. And that's been, honestly, I think, where, and I'm not trying to necessarily discredit what South Dakota State has done, but I think that these guys really exemplify why South Dakota State has been able to make this comeback in the rivalry. You've got six-year guys like Winkelman and Sanders. Bach's not a six-year guy. He's just a stud. And honestly, I blame Cam Miller a little bit. He's a Solon, Iowa kid. Cam should have brought Bach to NDSU. That's on him. But Winkelman and Sanders are guys that NDSU lost, man. The guys that you go back to the COVID time and the players that were at that level, at that all-conference level, Jabril went to LSU. Trey went to the NFL. Rado went to the NFL. Cofield went to Western Kentucky. Hayes went to Virginia. They just, though, unfortunately for the Bison, those guys didn't stay during the COVID thing. And I'm not saying that Stig does, player retention better than Entz or anything like that, but that's what happened. SDSU, barred the doors and said, nobody's leaving. And they didn't. And they almost won a national title and now are still in a fantastic situation because these guys just didn't go anywhere. And Winkelman and Sanders completely control that defensive line for the Rabbits. Trev, when you've got a nose that does what Sanders does and an end that does what Winkelman does, how much pressure does that put on an offense?
Well, quite a bit, because it can limit how you game plan. I mean, typically if you have an edge rusher that's trying to put on spin moves or trying to get around somebody, you can attack it directly because you can find a gap within it and find tendencies and just try to win off percentages. But when you've got someone as stout as Sanders in the middle, and then the guy right behind him is Adam Bach, that becomes very, very difficult very, very quickly. So it's just one of those things where it provides just a level of trepidation in terms of how you want to game plan and attack certain weaknesses within a defense. So, depth-wise, behind that, I don't know a lot of the guys that are behind them. So for me, looking at this, when you have guys like Winkelman and Sanders as stout as they are and as consistent as they've been, your best bet is to try to wear them out to some capacity. So I don't know if that means like running screen passes, trying to get them running laterally to go finish plays to hopefully get them off the field every once in a while and then attack accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, they are a consistent – I will say the most impressive performance I've maybe seen from an FCS player this season was what Sanders did to that Iowa offense. And Iowa is a obvious and consistent NFL proving ground for offensive line talent. You know, Brian Bulaga, Tristan Wirfs, I could go forever on this, but those are well-coached offensive linemen that often end up on Sundays at Iowa, and Caleb Sanders completely and totally dominated the game. And that's something where you're in a situation where we're not 100% sure. In fact, we're pretty darn sure that they're not going to have Jalen Sundell, Brandon Westberg, Nash Jensen, Zach Kubis. It's on you, because that kid can wreck a game if you let him. And there's no such thing as a gap power if you don't get Caleb Sanders blocked. There just isn't. So big, big doings for the interior. And honestly, the Rams could win this game. That's the fact. The Rams could win this game. JB, you're shaking your head up and down. What are your thoughts on this front seven for SDSU?
Man, they got a battle in head of them here. It's going to be fun to watch. And I think too, it's going to be a battle of attrition. It's, these guys are phenomenal athletes and phenomenal players, and they might win a few early. And, you always expect that from some really, high level players, but it's going to be a war of attrition. And, you know, whoever can outlast the other is likely going to come out on top here. And like you said, I think the Rams got the opportunity to win this game for them.
One thing that's interesting, you know, we talk about just how good South Dakota State is up front. The issue that the Bison are having, and South Dakota State is not really having this issue from what I've seen, and certainly from what the Pro Football Focus grades would indicate, is the Bison do struggle with run fit. The Jacks have just as much, if not more, issues tackling as the Bison. South Dakota State, I'm going to just check the number for North Dakota State. Okay, so NDSU is about right there. South Dakota State has 72 missed tackles. So they are missing easily double-digit missed tackles per game. So it's something to keep an eye on. They being South Dakota State, also not tackling particularly well, up in the 11, 12, 13 missed tackles per game. And something that, man, if I'm a Bison fan, that's where I see a lot of hope, because Hunter's a hard guy to tackle. Tomerick's a hard guy to tackle. Even you get some of the shiftier guys like Kobe and Bussey, they can be hard guys to tackle. Could be a redemption situation for Dom Ganella. He's a hard guy to tackle. Stoffel, I don't think, is fun to tackle in the open field on some of those bootleg actions where you're flipping it out to him in the flat. If this Rabbit team can't tackle and NDSU builds on their single-digit missed tackle performance from a week ago, that could really swing these things, or this thing is just getting guys to the ground. JB, what are your keys to an NDSU win? If this thing goes the way that we want it to go, what happened?
Well, it's funny you ask, because I think the tackling aspect of both sides of the ball are going to be something that's, you know, heavily emphasized, and something that can lead either side to a win, right? So it's on offense, you know, it's forcing missed tackles, and on defense, it's capitalizing on tackles. So I think that's one thing that's huge. But then obviously the bias side coming out of me a little bit here in big games is special teams. Yeah, special teams, man. There's always a big play or a couple big plays made in this exact game. The Rock game, always the marker game, always has a big special teams play. And what's it going to be? You know, is it going to be a tackle within the 10-yard line, a block punt? Who knows? But it's going to be special teams. It's going to come down to those one or two undervalued plays that not a lot of people tend to analyze or tend to look at. But I think that's what it's going to come down to.
Special teams and special plays. And by special plays, I mean trick plays. It was also something that's lost forever in the conversation with Nick Gazer. SDSU always has a non-conventional football play or two in the bag to play North Dakota State. They scored on, I believe, a halfback jump pass on a fourth and short or a third and short last year in Brookings. They've run the fumble rooski. They've run all sorts of nonsense to try and beat the Bison. It is the entire reason for the existence of that program, is to beat North Dakota State, and all of the stops get pulled out. Your keys to an NDSU win, Trev.
Well, there's several, but I think the three main ones are, one, winning the turnover battle. Anytime you have a one possession type game, which is, I think this is building up to be, winning the turnover battle is crucial. You lose that, you probably lose the football game. The other piece is winning third down. If you win third down, you stay on the field, you maintain time of possession, you most likely will win the football game. So hang on to the football. The ball is the program. Win third down. That's on both sides of the ball. Get on, stay on the field and get off the field. The other piece, which JB already touched on it, which I still think is going to be the biggest, and I agree, is special teams. I think it's going to come down to the kicking game, which we're going to get to in the score predictions. I do think bodes well for NDSU, because their kicking game in Brookings has been very lackluster. And in those pressure-type situations and those big moments, more often than not, you revert to the mean. So what do I mean by that? You're going to be what you are in those situations. So I do anticipate this game coming down to a kick.
Yeah, and NDSU's in a situation with Griffin Croza where they probably don't have a ton of confidence in his range, but they do have confidence in his accuracy. So if it means you can only kick a 38 yarder or closer, then only kick a 38 yarder or closer. If that's the deal, then that's the deal. And then that opens up obviously going for it. You know, you're at the opponent 38 and it's fourth and five. It's like, whatever. All right, we're going, we're throwing, sorry. And if you're honestly, in most of those situations, if you're a Rabbits fan, you hate that. You hate that they've got four downs as soon as they cross the 50. until they get into range of Griffin Croza. That drives you absolutely nuts, especially those fourth and three conversions just barely on the other side of the field. They're backbreakers, man. You feel like you've gotten a stop on three downs and you haven't, and it just drives you absolutely nuts. My keys to the game, number one, single-digit missed tackles. Same thing. Get ball carriers on the ground. Fit the run, but get ball carriers on the ground. Tucker Kraft catches one, get him on the ground. Don't let Isaiah Davis create 7 or 8 missed tackles on his own. Get him on the ground. That's going to be a big deal. Second thing is definitely if they win the turnover battle, I don't see how they lose the game. It certainly could happen, but if it's 3-1 NDSU or 2-0 NDSU, I think they're going to come out on top. And see, I think a huge key to the game is energy. The fans have to bring it. The players have to come correct. If NDSU's up 10-0 in the first quarter, that place is going to be absolutely insane. And that is what I think could be a huge key to the game. Not that they can't throw, because South Dakota State with the Yankee twins, potentially with Kraft, with Hines, they can throw the ball down 10. That's not an issue. But NDSU's also 4 deep at corner and 3 deep at safety and has a true cover linebacker in Nick Kubitz playing about as well as anybody at the cover linebacker spot is playing in the whole country. Those are big deals. Okay, so I mentioned, and we're going to wrap this show up here, but I mentioned, Trev, the fact that when NDSU lost key all-conference, all-American, NFL-level players during COVID, and SDSU kept those guys around, that I think that has created a little bit of a gap in where the two schools are at. Because, hey, by all means, Trey Lance could be starting in this game. I mean, he could be starting in this game, right? But under any other normal circumstances, Radenson Cox would be gone. But, there are other, kind of keys along the way here that have been, missed by important players that have gone. I mean, Jasir Cox could be in this game. He's right, picking up fumbles at West Virginia and running them back into the end zone. But awesome. Yeah. What would a loss mean to you in terms of the kind of a shift of power in the rivalry? Would 3 in a row make a statement to you? Would it become concerning in your eyes?
I think it absolutely makes a statement. I don't think there's no denying that. I mean, South Dakota State has done a phenomenal job of seeing NDSU and trying to mimic it as best they can. And where they've done the best is up front, because in the past, back in my day, so now I'm old head talking, is they were physically dominated up front. The skill guys, very comparable. They would beat us at times. We would beat them over the course of 4 quarters. We would typically get the best of them, but the biggest gap that they've closed is up front. Skill guys, I think you're still going to have the same. That's probably going to stay consistent. Doing it 3 times in a row is a pattern. Now, I know the COVID year is kind of one thing. It's hard to really take that at full value. So that can be debated for days and hours. But 3 in a row does say something to me. I don't think it necessarily shifts the power in terms of them being the preeminent FCS program in the country. I think you have to win a natty before you can even enter that conversation. But in terms of where they're heading within the Valley and how they rack and stack within the Valley, which puts you in a better position to win a national championship, yeah, I think they would be starting to get the upper hand. So this game is very important to keep that for recruiting purposes, for just not letting your rival beat you that many times in a row. That's never really a thing that is good. So a win's big. A win is big.
Does it change anything for you if they lose this game and it's still green and yellow confetti in Frisco?
Not one bit.
Okay. Fair enough. JB, anything for you? Like if they do go down 3 times in a row, obviously SDSU unable to get it done in the spring season of 2020 that didn't count. NDSU having lost in Brookings last year, but having the confetti fall down on them. Is 3 years in a row a problem for you? I mean, as far as a shift in, who the top dog is?
Well, it's unacceptable. And I think everybody within the program knows that. But in terms of a power shift, You know, I don't think like long term it's got any sort of power shift in implications. But what I do think it has the potential to do is, you know, shift each of these teams' seasons this year. Absolutely crucial game for both squads and has a lot of, you know, more nearsighted implications on the direct future for both these guys. So,
and that, you know, you nailed it. And that's where I'm at. And I'm going to close with this and then we'll get to score predictions. But you look at, you know, as far as folks with an NDSU offer that are choosing SDSU on the recruiting trail, it's very seldom. They're still winning head-to-head recruiting battles with South Dakota State almost every time. You look that whatever deal that is on the far side of the stadium in Brookings is a very nice, very cool IPF. NDSU's now got one that's going to be better. That was, you know, one more thing, you know, one more reason to go to NDSU instead of SDSU now exists besides the championships that they don't have and the coach that isn't here and the, you know, on and on and on. You could say, you know, do you want to go outside and practice in the cold or do you want to practice in a Fargo Dome with no environment or do you want to have a, you know, this sweet IPF that we have in Grand Forks or this sweet IPF that we have in Brookings? Well, now NDSU has a sweeter IPF, one that Matt Ant said reminds him of the one at Iowa. And of course, he's going to say something nice like that. But boys, this is a facility. I mean, this, the all shouts to Cramart, Trev, but this is a true facility. And as much as it would stink to lose to South Dakota State for a third straight time, and as much as, frankly, it's going to make it almost impossible to win the Valley and win the auto bid, and you're probably going to have to win a road game at that point to get to Frisco. You do lose this game. I still don't think it changes much long-term. Now, long-term could include the FBS, one team leaving, one team staying. Long-term could include a lot of things. But in this particular universe where they stay in the MVFC and battle each other until we're all dead and gone, I don't think this game, losing to South Dakota State three times in a row, I don't think it's going to matter, especially once these sixth-year guys are out and it's back to kind of an even playing field type situation. NDSU's still winning on the recruiting trail. They now have better facilities. They have always had a better coaching staff, and I have very little long-term concern. Saturday, I do have concern. I'll kick off our score predictions with where I see this game. I do think the game will be won in the first half. I think that might sound insane, but I really think if NDSU and that crowd and those players can go throw the punch that they need to throw, that they can break South Dakota State and potentially win that game. I don't think these Bison, without Gindy, without a super healthy Phoenix Sproles, without really having ever done it in the Cam Miller era outside of the Missouri State game, I don't know if they can get down 14 and claw back the way that they tried to do. And we're within an onside kick and some stuff within that of doing that in Brookings. I don't know that they can sling the ball around down 14 and make a glorious comeback, and that NDSU's front seven can stand up against an SDSU team trying to melt the clock away by pounding Isaiah Davis. I think early game script is going to matter in this one. Fortunately for Bison fans, I think it's going to go the way that I said in the first place. I think NDSU comes out. I think that crowd is going to be absolutely bananas. I think Scoots and Ladders intro video is going to be off the chain. I think that place is going to come absolutely unglued. I think they'll do what JB said. And if they win the toss, I think they'll kick. And if they get a three and out, watch out. I think North Dakota State wins this game 27-21 and finally sends the Bison faithful happy. Trev, what do you got?
So at the beginning of the week, I was very much on the doom and gloom side of this thing. But the more I got to learn about South Dakota State and some of their kicking woes and learning the missed tackles piece, that was a complete shock to me, especially considering that was mind-blowing because the defense has been the strength of their team this year. Like I said earlier in the pod, no team has lived up to their billing preseason. And I don't think you go from playing that way to just playing top tier football. And that's going to be both teams. I don't think we're going to see a clean game. I don't think we're going to see both teams just play to their ability. I think both teams in December are going to be drastically different. So that throws a crazy wrench into this game. when you have stuff like that. And again, it comes down to special teams. It comes down to one play. And more often than not, it comes down to playing at home. And because of that, I think the crowd is going to be a big factor. The standing room only thing also is going to aid in that. So by the end of this, I think NDSU comes out on top 22-20. Now on the flip side, if they were playing in Brookings, I think the Jacks would probably win by 7-10. So being at home, I think, is massive. And I do think the boys come out ready to play this Saturday and actually play four quarters of a little bit closer to what they're capable of. And that's why I have them winning by 2 points.
JB.
You guys hit the nails on the head. I'm going Bison 20-14. I think it's going to come down to late, either a defensive stand, a defensive turnover. And I think the crowd's going to have a massive part in it. So
I hope you're right. I hope the crowd comes correct, because that would be a big, big deal. The South Dakota State team hasn't really beaten anybody. Hopefully after Saturday, we can still say the same thing. Thanks to Trevor Gebhardt. Thanks to Jackson Brown. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to our sponsors, Tundra Insurance and Gateway Chevrolet. Have a phenomenal weekend, everybody. And more than ever, go Bison.